Thank you, Sangha, for your practice. Today I wanted to share a little bit about suffering. I'm pausing because I know in Buddhism everyone thinks we are really overtaken, focused too much on suffering. And yet, suffering, it's in Buddhism, what the other part of the story that I think non-Buddhists don't hear as much about is that it's the connector to awakening, to transformation, and to healing. It's stated in the Four Noble Truths. Yeah, the first one, suffering exists. There is suffering. The second, there's a path to it. The third, it can end. And the fourth, there's a path to the end as well. The first teaching that the awakened Bodhisattva, the Buddha, offered, the Four Noble Truths. So we understand in Buddhism that there's something about suffering that leads to transformation. And I was reading this book about Harriet Tubman, Night Flyer, and I don't have it right here, so I can't give the absolute correct title. I can put it in the chat later. But what really struck me in that book was the author's focus on how Harriet Tubman's suffering is what led to her awakening. And it struck me, I went back and read it several times. I thought, oh, here we go again, this suffering and its awakening. But not just that, because the author also mentioned three other women during this time that Harriet Tubman was a teenager, who also came into their spiritual awakening through a path of suffering. So I couldn't help myself. I thought, here we go again, this suffering and its path to awakening, because these four women were experiencing tremendous suffering. And their opening, their connection to, in this case, Christianity, their God, came through this severe process of suffering. And so, of course, and just to be respectful, the other three women mentioned in this book was an elder woman named Elizabeth, Julia Foote, Jarina Lee, and Zilpha Dila. And again, I will put the name of the book. So I went and did a little bit more research around Christianity and their connector of suffering and awakening. And the way Judaism as well, the scriptures speak so much about It is true, my suffering, knowing the suffering of my God, knowing the suffering of Jesus, that I will come to know him and all in his righteousness. Knowing that, I come to know the righteousness. I come to know the joy. I come to know the freedom. So there's this broad cross spiritual denominations that have this understanding and teach this, that this path of awakening comes through suffering. As we know, Thay teaches so often about no mud, no lotus. The mud needs the lotus, and the lotus needs the mud. And one cannot exist without the other. So what is it? So what is it, right? We keep saying it's the suffering that leads to the awakening. Well, what is it in the suffering? What is it? What is it that, is it a magic moment? I mean, we all suffer, right? That's the truth. In big suffering, small suffering, large numbers of people suffering at once, it's clear in what's going on in wars. So, what is it in any moment of suffering that we experience that can lead us, each one of us, because the understanding is each one of us can use our suffering to get liberated. That is the understanding, not just in Buddhism, in Christianity, in other faith traditions. So, what is it? What is that moment in that midst of suffering? So, the teachings say it's a moment when we fail. When the things, the structures that hold up this individual self all fall apart. The I all fall apart. The me, the mine, the my name's Maricela, I am Afro-Latina, I'm female-bodied, I'm born in this country of Belize. All these things that we have come to define the self in these moments of suffering, they're not there anymore. Those structures that hold us almost in captivity, almost in stuckness, because it tethers us to an identity and it holds us up, and it's that permanent idea of this identity that keeps us, we think, safe. And in that moment of suffering, when everything falls apart, right? When the structure that holds us up, that defines us, if someone says, "Who are you?" We're happy to share who we have built ourselves to be. I am this. I live here. All these things that define us. And each one of us could do the same thing, which I just was sharing about myself, this Maricela form here. I like to wear a hat, right? All these things, yeah? And when we, in those moments of suffering, when all the things that we structure to keep us happy and safe, those things don't serve us in that moment of suffering. Those things have, quote, let us down. And we're grasping for it. We're grasping. And when we let them fall apart by going into the suffering, by experiencing that pain, and finding centeredness in the non-structure. Because what that structure does is it keeps us from each other. It helps us maintain our individual self-identity. But when those things start to fall apart, now there is nothing to keep us from each other. And this understanding, it's a bit of a, almost an ultimate dimension phenomenon, if you can allow yourself to go there. The daily practice around, yes, suffer, this suffering is exists, this is how it got here. There's something that happens when the structures fall apart, that if we allow ourselves to meet it, we move into that ultimate, we come out of the mundane, and now we are feeling, if we allow ourselves, this connection to the larger whole. And that, in that moment, we see what happened that allowed us to, in that moment, feel free of that pain, feel free of that suffering, feel free of this clinging to this idea that there's a permanent self and structure, that if I only did this and everything, that if I eat this morning and I do my whatever 5,000 steps or 10, whatever steps, and I, you know, all the things that we do, if we just go back to that, it's not going to happen again. And often we go back to that, and then we still have the suffering. And this moment of realization, it doesn't mean that the pain stops, right? Because it's a mind moment of realization. So in that, so I'm speaking now here to physical pain. I'm even speaking to physical pain where someone is causing us pain, or it could be a physical pain where we injured ourselves by falling down the stairs or something, or we, and it hurts. But what Thay says, the art of happiness is the art of suffering well. I'm going to say that again. The art of happiness is the art of suffering well. And so this is where I'm trying to get into. I'm trying to get into that mind moment where there is a realization, everything falls apart. All the sense of permanence, the Christians define it as the ego. The ego, the thing that keeps us tethered to this is who I am. It all falls apart. This delusion, it falls apart. In that moment of pain, because it hurts so bad, when we have that realization, because that everything that we thought we did and should and be, and you know, I did it all right, and it, why is this me? Why is this happening to me? It shouldn't happen to me. When all that falls apart, what is left? And if we can be in the moment, the mind moment, where, and that's what we do with all these practices, we are cultivating, we're training the mind so that in that moment, we may touch into the, we come out of the mundane and touch into the ultimate. And we realize in that moment, ah, it's like a breath out. And it may just last a moment and then it's gone. And we're still in that physical, very real inflammatory process is going on. The cells are producing all kinds of things that's making our boo-boo swell and turn red. Yeah? So it's real. It's the mind in that moment. Does it cling to the structures that say, this is painful to me, I am suffering, why am I suffering? How come this happened to me? I don't deserve this. All these things that the mind go to. And we have choice in the mind, even in the midst of suffering. A great example is when we fall down and hurt ourselves. Like I walk down those stairs, I fall on, hit my head. I mean, I don't want to do that, but for example, in that moment, my thinking isn't around. My thinking is, oh, I hurt my head. Now, if someone had hit me in the head, made me fall down those stairs, I would be having a completely different set of thoughts, right? Because what we would be doing. We would go immediately to resentment and revenge. And we would be recreating the suffering in another way, the second and the third and the fourth arrow. And the suffering expands, the pain gets bigger. So you see, the pain is the same. The amount of cells and inflammation and the cells that are coming to that area of injury is the same. But what the mind has just done when someone caused that painful moment is it's elaborated it. You see that we're in choice. I know it's hard to believe to say that I have a choice in how I suffer. And yet, this example I just gave, it really is that in that moment of pain, we can choose how much suffering we will have. Just like Thay saying, the art of in that moment, can we suffer well? Can we suffer differently? Can we suffer better? I had a friend who about a month ago fell down. I think this is another way to think about it. And she really did hit her head and had a big, no concussion, but had to go and get stitches. And she was not by herself. She was surrounded by friends. What she shared with me was that immediately, because she fell, because she left a cord on the floor, and immediately she started blaming herself. How stupid that was, so stupid, right? On the floor bleeding, right? On the floor bleeding. Is that the moment to do that? And yet we do that. This non-compassion for self. Luckily, there were people around her who came to her, and when she started telling them how it was all her fault, they said, can we not do that? Can we leave that alone? This is not the time right now for the mind to go wandering, right? It's kind of like when we talk about the house on fire. Someone set the house on fire, and you go chasing after the person, you let the house burn down. Right? It's the same thing. I fall because I left something on the floor. I'm going to beat myself up now. In that moment, there's pain. So no one's denying that pain and suffering is happening. What we're saying is, how are we going to take care of that pain, and how much suffering are we going to add on to that through the thinking of this mind and what the mind does in the moment, whether it's ourselves that cause that fall, or whether it's someone else. Now, when it's someone else, we go right after them, right? Just like we want to chase after the arsonist and let the house burn. It might be people in the house, and still we're going after them, which is not the most compassionate thing to do if you think about the house on fire as our own selves in suffering. So, what is it that allows this moment in our suffering, or these multiple mind moments during a period of pain and suffering? What is it in that moment that allows us to move through the Four Noble Truths? Because that's what we're talking about here, right? We acknowledge we just fell, right? We see why I fell, because the cord was there, or I fell because someone pushed me. And in that moment, what is it that allows us to move into the third noble truth? There is an end to the suffering. And seeing that it was the way I was holding that as the path to be able to make that choice of more suffering or less suffering. So what helps us to be, what helps us? Well, what the practices help us, right? Because we're suffering, because we're clinging. So I'm gonna come back to one particular thing around what helps us. It's the clinging to the identity of self and clinging to the permanence of the self. That doesn't allow us to be able to see what else is there, the perception, right? We that's why we did the meditation earlier, going through the aggregates, the five aggregates, and the perceptions. So when this thing happened, all those things we went through in the meditation, we have a feeling, we have a sensation, we have a feeling, then we have a perception. We're building the story, right? And then we have mental formations, and this comes from our consciousness, whatever has the feel of consciousness, whatever has been there, whatever collectively, because we're impacted by a collective consciousness. How mindful are we in that moment to be able to know what it is that we're going to let affect us? What have we, this ability to not cling to these, the characteristics of impermanence and non-self has a big, it's a big part of how we're going to suffer, how we're going to take care of our pain. And how do we get there? Well, we do these practices so that in that moment, and it's not, we don't wait for the big suffering. We do it in every single moment, right? Whatever makes us suffer. That's why it's so important to be mindful and the observer of ourselves, of our body, of our mind, of our thinking, of our perceptions. Because when we become that observer, that's our mindfulness, right? We're able to see, I'm about to suffer here. Okay, am I going to go down this road and water that with my thinking by being stuck to myself? Or am I going to be able to, in that moment, make a choice? We go into the suffering, in the midst of that suffering, because we're so attached to this self-identity, the I, the me, and this whole constellation that we built around ourselves. It's so hard to let it open. Because then what else, what am I, right? What is there? This is who I am. If I'm not this, who am I? So this is this is the moment of faith in the practice. This is why we practice. In that moment, we're actually in choice. We really are in choice. But it's not an acute choice, if you will. It's a choice that has been in practice for months and years, because we have been practicing. We've been practicing. We've been in choice. We've been practicing, and all that practice, all that sitting meditation, where we're slowing our breath, we're calming our body, we're noticing what's there, what's in the body, what's in the mind, the walking, the mindful eating, the not eating the thoughts, but eating the food, being present. All that presenting, present, keep presenting ourselves. Those practices imprints in us. And in that moment of pain and suffering, when we really touch into it, what we're doing is presencing ourselves in the pain. But because we've been training, we can do something different. Because now we know what it means to be present to what is, whatever is there. We know what it is. We know what presencing is. We've been practicing it. When we eat our whatever, drink our tea, eat our cookie, drink our noodle soup, eat our chocolate, we've been fully present with it because we've been tasting it on our tongue. It's a joyful one, and it's still a training to be present with what is there. So in that moment of challenge, we have learned already how to be present with something. And so can we be present with it? And when we're present with it, that's when it all starts to open. And then this the non-separation shows itself. And then we're not afraid of losing this eye and seeing that there is no separation. We connect with others. We're part of this bigger thing. We move from mundane into the ultimate, and it's just a moment. The burden is lifted. Everything seems to have fallen off the shoulders. We're not carrying everything anymore. And we touch into that. And that one little moment allows us to know that there is that, and we can come back to it. And we don't cling to it, we don't grasp into it, because then that really becomes another structure that we're trying to build around ourselves and make into mine and I. So even the presencing doesn't become something that we hold on to. So it's a little, some time for, we want some time for sharing. I'm closing with sharing that this practice of mindfulness, this continued practice of mindfulness in every moment, where we're always observing what is there. What are my perceptions now? Am I sure? What are my feelings now? What are my mental formations? I'm feeling happy, I'm feeling sad. Why am I happy? Why am I sad? I was just happy a moment ago. This continued practice is what over time allows us to be with our painful situations so that the difficulty will continue. The things, the injury, it won't, we may still fall. We can't stop some natural disaster from happening. But the way we suffer with that natural disaster will be different. And the way we suffer if we are unfortunately in a other more difficult, a man-made, a human-made conflict, such as a war, it will be different. So when we talk about, well, what does this practice have to do with people who are in the midst of gunfire? It will determine how much we suffer in the midst of those fires. Because we will know that it will change, because it's not fixed. And our ability to be in this space will affect others who are in those same places with us. And so we help them with their suffering, yeah. Because it's not an individual journey, it's a collective path of practice for liberation. We all want to get free. So thank you for listening. I'll invite a sound of the bell for us to let all that go.